Character, aren't you? Mary, the mother of Jesus. And here she is, number one elf. A preacher once said that although the Catholic faith might speak too much about Mary and give her too much high regard, the Christian faith has went the other way, and we didn't revere her or appreciate her enough. She was a spectacular lady that was chosen by God to carry our Lord Jesus Christ in our womb for 9 months and given birth. I mean, that's amazing. But what I'm going to take out over the next few weeks, quite bizarrely, for a Christmas series, is not just concentrate on the birth. As I've been following Mary's journey, she was at the crucifixion as well. And so the next time I speak, we'll be discussing really how must that felt for Mary as a mom to see her son crucified, hanging gruesome, naked, at hands that she would have walked with as Jesus was a toddler, was now pierced. What must that have felt for Mary? And then she was also in the upper room when the birth of the church happened as well. How must that have felt for Mary? Just being there with other disciples and Jesus' promise that wait here and the promise of the Holy Spirit will come. How must that have felt after witnessing the birth personally, after witnessing the cross personally? How must it have felt in terms of hope that the wind was starting to blow again and that the fire of God was fun? And so we're just going to take out three scenes, really. And the first scene, I don't usually use props a lot, so hopefully this Disneyland flatten its face. But this is one about the birth of Jesus Christ, the first scene. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, there was something that just caught my eye to deal with Mary's posture, with everything that surrounded her at this time. Says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken without the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodgings available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he says. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and that the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This is the scene that we come round every year. And every year, us preachers sit down and think, well, is there something different I can pick out at this year? And God always provides his word to his people. And when I was thinking about this held passage, I'm reminded that 9 months previously, Mary had our wow moment. She got the angel interaction. When the angel came and says, look, you're going to give birth. And she says, well, this is impossible. And he says, no, it'll be just as God had said. And so she'd had her wow moment, her angelic encounter, yet 9 months later, the baby is born, Jesus the Messiah. And our thing that surrounds her out with the manger is complete chaos, astonishment. The shepherds were just walking and had a normal day and a normal job. And the heavens opened. It's strange that the heavens didn't record of the heavens opening in the manger. But the heavens opened in a dark night, in a starry night, to this angels, to this shepherds. And the angels started praising God and saying to the shepherds, look, go see this baby. You'll recognize him. He'll be wrapped up snugly in a manger. It says that they hurried frantically. There's chaos. There's excitement, I guess. The heavens are opening. The angels are singing. The shepherds have had a heavenly encounter. It's great when you get a heavenly encounter, isn't it? It just, your heart leaps. Wow. You feel the angels singing and the glory comes. And this was the shepherds. They were on a mission of excitement and hurry and running. And heavenly hosts and multitudes of angels. What a picture. But yet, when you look at Mary, this was Isabel's seat that she sat on after giving birth 3 times. Nay, while she gave birth, after giving birth. And she used to sit here and rock back and forth, and after it wasn't needed, we put it in the prayer room. So when I was thinking of this, I was thinking of this seat. Because our thing doing about Mary was completely frantic. But yet, when it comes to Mary, says to Emily, go and grab a doll for Jesus. What'd she give me? How much is it? But yet, Mary, it says, she just sat and she pondered in her heart if it was actually happening. And she thought about these things often. I just get a picture here. You want me to smile, Martin, as you take that photo? You got to stoke me up with a photo later on here. It's true. I've just got a picture of her. She'd had her encounter, her angelic encounter. She'd had 9 months to really think about what was going on. I wonder, do you think she couldn't fully if it was happening? I don't think so. Do you think she knew fully if it, Jesus was going to die in his life on earth? Do you think that she knew the horrible death that was going to happen? I don't think so. But I just think she was taking a moment to get her heart aligned and her mind aligned to the promise that this boy was special. And although the heavens were opening in the fields and shepherds were running about being missionaries, the scene in the manger was pretty unique and special, but not unseen in maternity wards up in Doona country, that just a woman and a little boy pondering. And it got my thinking about our lives when Isabel gave birth to our first child. Seems ages ago I knew, but Jacob, we originally called him Jake, and Jacob was going to be on the birth certificate, but Jacob seems to stick, and he looks like a Jacob, doesn't he? But surrounding the birth, we had 9 months to prepare for it. And you think, oh, is this happening? You get the, where is it? It's near Stotts and Bangs. Where is it? Hicks and Bricks or something? Something. It's Hicks and Bricks, is it? Bricks and Hicks. It's like Stutz and Bangs is better. So that's like the near there yet pains. It's Stutz and Bangs. So then you go driving our humps, like on the road, just to try and. Oh, stories behind us. Do you want a story? Dorothy, do you want a story? Right, okay. So one story was, she kens Balgar better than me, right? She's fair Balgar. So we got to the hair bar, and she convinced me that beyond the hair bar, you could drive over the beachy sand stuff and get to this road, and this road was supposed to be ideal Forrest Stotson Bang scenario to get it bouncing so that put her into labour. So me thinking, logically thinking, that's sand, I'm going to get stuck. But listening to my wife and being obedient, thinking I need to get to that road to get her started, planted a fit, got stuck in the sand. I've got a microphone. So she's saying it was her fault and I did the best I could. So wheel spinning. She's almost at full term. I had to get your past full term. Okay. And they're just spinning. Could you imagine how I must have felt stuck in a beach in a car or Ford Focus, just planting a fit. All people walking past, looking at us, thinking, why are you stuck in a beach with your car? How am I supposed to get this? Phone a fire brigade for the video. But then this dear old couple, we in a state car, had a tow bar and a lead and managed to pull a suit. But that was the Stoats and Bangs. Anyway, around about that time, it was frantic. Thinking, is this happening now? Is this it? And then she gets a labour pains, and then we go to Aberdeen, and I was quite frantic. Maybe didn't look it. I was sitting in a corner reading women's magazines in the theatre. It was there for about 20 hours or something, so I read Take a Break about 3 times and Woman's On. Very interesting stuff. But when she started to push, and then we came, the baby was coming, and that labour ward, to see this baby. It's a miracle, really. And then it's surrounded by franticness. You get the surgeons. Jacob came with a C-section. You get the surgeons. There's other stuff going on, and you can get excited. And then you're as a dad, you're running, you have to tell Abdi. In fact, do you phone first? Because Margaret and my dad, I've got a list of people, my granny, she was number one to phone. Tell her first, she'd be on to me. I had a list of people that you've to tell. And although you've been prepared for it, you're not prepared for it either. And then it's a long day, not just for a woman, but for a man. It's a long day, and you get exhausted, and we have to drive for Aberdeen back home, but your adrenaline's rushing. It's frantic, it's excitement. The heavens have opened. You're like, wow, it's actually happened. And you bide up a bit later because it's just adrenaline and messages. You're sitting on your phone with messages, and you get up in the morning and you get a message saying, when I got in the blue stuff, because we didn't care if he was going to be a boy or a female. And so I had to go to the shops and buy a blue baby grow. I just thought, that's easy, just grab a blue one, and then you look, and it's £9 to £11 and under £9 baby grows. It goes by weight. Thinking, oh no, I'm going to get this wrong if I'm in a pick. Frantic, and then you go to celebrations, and you get the helium balloon, you get a card, and you sign a card, and it's hard. And you have to go to beer for the morning, because your whole family's there, and then you're driving away, you're gleaming. But you're really tired at the same time. You've got extra stuff that she wants, a baby wants, and other things. And you walk in, shattered, but excitement, with a bag, a helium balloon, and a card. And meanwhile, the woman just gets to sit. I didn't mean it like that. They've picked me up wrong. And you get the picture that I'm walking in there, black bags under my eyes, sleepless night. And you're looking at me, so I'm going to be in trouble for this. A night of chaos, frantic, chasing, hurrying like a shepherd. But yet the mom, you just sit and ponder in her heart everything that has happened and get her heart and mind aligned with the situation, without the external running for helium balloons and baby grows. That's for other people to do. For that moment, it's just a time to get connected between the mother and the child. What's the point of that story? The point of that story, I think, it's like a Christian life for me. I love the heavens opening, and I love first time of year for me, nights of joy. And we do the meal, and it's frantic, and it's great, and it's glorious, and it's good. I love in times of worship when we sing together, and you just feel the presence of Christ, and you feel like going on a mission like a shepherd, and you've got that encounter that you're living for and you're living off of. And as Christians, we should expect when we come to this house, it's not just 29 Grattan Place, this is a house of the living God. Living stones coming together, a habitation of the presence of Jesus. It should be like a shepherd, shouldn't it? The angels singing, the encounter happening, the missionary heart. Yet, it has got to lead on to a heart that would rest and sit in a seat when the meal has been eaten next Sunday. And when the night of joy lights dim, and when Christmas comes and go, and our family have attended and they've enjoyed it, there's got to be a time that we sit doing, even in between them services, with Jesus, and ponder him and his greatness. And get our hearts, it says that Mary's heart just pondered, and our mind thought about everything that had happened. I pray that as we go into the festive season, that we'd have times of just away from the chaos and the good times, just sitting and dwelling and just saying, thank you, Jesus. You're a good Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done. I could have been a lost drug addict on the street, still heading for hell, but yet you saved me. And it's glorious to see, and his plans are wonderful. And often in the Christian life, we measure on the experience at church. You like a new light? We've got new lights this week. It's just to enhance your experience of church. Some of you didn't notice, some of you noticed as soon as you came in. But we pray that people would come in and experience the reality of Christ. And the worship team and the servers at the door, if I got part of that. But away from that, we wouldn't go home next. If we leave this service and forget about Jesus for a week, that the true validation or an encounter together is if it leads on to a heart that ponders. Mary had 9 months to think about this after an angelic encounter. And the angelic encounter led on to something that was birthed, led on to something that was born, led on to a pondering heart and mind of the Savior. But often church can be, we love the encounter with each other, baptismal service. Wow, how awesome is that to see friends and family come, dewedy dedication services. It's great. But does that lead on to a heart that ponders? Does it lead on to a mind that dwells? Because often it can be like, oh, it was a really busy day at church, wasn't it? It was great, it was amazing, baptism, wow, fantastic, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, I'm on a mission. Let's get to my seat, because see this seat? It wasn't only a place that cradled babies, because it's easy on this seat to get comfortable. And Jesus might be screaming for your attention, but we can put him doing sometimes, couldn't we? Just take a second air, and oh, I've usually got my phone on, and you sit doing, and you think, oh, I better get my phone. I think my phone's over here. There's always something to do, isn't there? Somebody stole my phone. What was it? You, Elsie? Yeah. Here we go. And we sat doing after a good encounter together with Jesus. And I'll just take a 5 minutes on the Facebook, see if it's got the rave reviews of the service, Ken. How do you live in life? And 5 minutes can turn on to 55 minutes really easily. Facebook has its really good uses. I keep in contact with a lot of people through Facebook, and it's definitely a benefit on the whole. But time can be so easily spent and, oh, I'll check Instagram and see if Abdi's gone up, see if Abdi was wearing last night. And Jesus is looking for some attention, but I'm sure he'll be all right doing that for a while. Just wanting some me time and some downtime. I deserve that after a long day at church, Ken, with you lot. And so I do intend to pick him up shortly. I've not ignored, I'm just came him into you. And so Isabel's got her Bible on, super spiritual elf today. And you get involved with different chat, we'll see if Abdi's up there in the chat. And oh, well, before I've caught up to that, it's an hour and a half, I'll put a phone doing, and oh, Jesus is looking for some attention, is there? Maybe something else to do first. Oh, let's just catch up when I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here for a while. And they put Netflix on the remote control these days. It's really handy. And we just see if it's on, catch up. I'm just having a bit of downtime. I deserve it after a long, hard day. And I do intend to get room to some quiet time and appreciating Jesus' time. But I've just had our stuff to do, isn't there? Just you need to relax sometimes. And so it's like 3 hours after, and now I'm getting hungry. It's the same seat. Nothing happens in the same seat, but now I'm getting hungry. So Isabel's made my fine meal, I'm sure, while I'm having some downtime. And so it's quite easy just to sit and just have some food on the same seat. And now Jesus, he's looking for attention, but he can wait a few moments, can't he? He can, or in our most being. And so you can... Oh, yeah, good you are to sit and watch TV, hey, food. And, I'll check a computer now. It's been a frantic day in this missionary heart. It's bursting, but it needs some downtime. I'll just check if when I first want to football on a day. Yeah, when I first want to football on a day. Is that one of games going on a day? 3 o'clock? One of hoops. Enemies for 90 minutes, but we'll still remain chums, Peter, eh? Oh, we'll see a lot of games on TV a day, so it's going to be a struggle for me to pick up this Jesus that's looking for attention. And there was just something about that Mary's heart that I loved, and something I think that we can take into our Christian lives during the really busy festive season. Let's pray for that encounter, that heavenly encounter. Let's pray that as we worship together, with the nights of joy, as we come and eat together, as we go through our Christmas series, that the heavens would open. But I am challenging myself here. I am looking for an encounter, but I am also looking for me to be able to sit down and before going on any further and before rushing through my to-do list, that we came for was to cradle the presence of Jesus. It's a nativity scene. Everything's gone frantic round about the manger. Yet, there was a woman and her name was Mary. An amazing name. Amazing woman, Mary, just sat and just got her heart and mind aligned with the Savior. It says her heart pondered and she thought about it often. Everything that was being said and done, everything of the angelic encounter, everything of the messengers or the shepherds, everything 9 months previously, are the promises of Isaiah, everything that was happening, the Elizabeth carrying John, and even John leaped in the womb as they met together, and she considered everything. People, when was the last time you really sat down in your seat? You can't fit seats yours. And just says, wow, I love an encounter, I really do. I love the euphoria and the heavens open, but when was the last time we were able just to sit down? We are able. When was the last time we sat down and just considered and got our hearts and mind aligned with Jesus and just, thank you, Jesus. I've got other distractions running about me in the world. Everything is at the touch of my fingertips. I can access anything in the world. But yet, Jesus, I need my heart and my mind aligned with you. And I'm here to consider everything that you've done in my life. Father, promises that are yes and amen. I'm here to consider your hand upon my life. I am here to consider your majesty. I'm here to worship you. I'm here to recognize how fortunate I am to hear you in my life. I'm here to cradle that presence. As a baby just gets cradled and is gentle, it's like that with your Savior. Just to cradle his presence. Far was the shepherds at the scene of the crucifixion. Far did they go? I have no idea. I hope that wasn't it for them. That they just, like a firework, just whoosh, boom. Had one mission, then stopped after that. You would hope that they went home and pondered and got their hearts and minds aligned. You would hope they followed him at some stage. You'd hope that they was there when he raised the dead, when he cleansed lepers, when he walked on water. It maybe did. But you hope it doesn't end with the euphoria of a church for us, didn't we? Well, then it's odd just coming and doing good stuff together and going home and nothing changes. But the authenticity of an encounter should lead us like Mary to ponder and to think and say, wow, Jesus, you blow my mind. You are beautiful beyond description. I think the biggest challenge that faces Christianity today is finding this place. I don't think it's in finding big churches. I don't think it's in finding experiences. I don't think it's in finding lights. I don't think it's in finding a band with music. I think it's about a people that will see that for what it is in an encounter, but then take something of that, lead them into a pondering heart, a thoughtful mind, a worshiper. That's what God is looking for. So right, this is the first Sunday of the festive season. And I'm challenging myself that I'm not getting caught up in the busyness and the goodness that this festive season brings to our fellowship, and in between that, just taking a break for it. But you got to take that and then find that place. If you do that, you've found the secret of Christianity. You see church for what it is. You're welcome. We come together. We love saving the lost. We love God's heart for humanity, that he sent Jesus crucified, shed blood on that cross, new beginnings, new start, encounter with the Father. But that doesn't end there. 12 o'clock on a Sunday has got to lead, and it's difficult because there's so much, isn't there? So much food to eat. There's so much people to catch up with. There's so much things in the computer. There's so much things we can watch on TV. Infinite amount of channels at our fingertips. We can do anything this mind desires today it can do in this day and age. The challenge for each one of us is to find a merry place of pondering and of thanksgiving for Fa's benefit, your benefit. If you dinna, you'll get caught up in the razzmatazz. You like it for 2 weeks. Then you'll get fed up with it. And you'll be running low. And you'll be, I'm burning out and fed up with this. I wish it was a nice month. March or April, springtime. And Abdi's getting on my case. I have to meet relatives and they've been like. It's for our benefit to hear that times of appreciation and love and adoration. Cradling the message this morning. Let's cradle the presence. Cradling's about intimacy. It's about even at infancy. You maybe didn't even ken Jesus in here this morning. You can still appreciate him and love him. And hit times of quietness. Open up the Word of God. Just start reading it and he'll speak to you. Maybe you just ken him a little bit. And then you just sit doing that little bit that you ken. Spend time and thank him for the little you can that he's done. But for us that's been involved with church for years and we've done services upon services and every year it's nativities, it's nights of joy. challenges, then I'm just mark it about that, how much people we can invite, but let's mark it that would lead on to times of pondering, a real time of thoughtful cradling of the presence. That's my prayer for us as a fellowship. We'll take up our offerings if the worship band would like to come up. You see, that seat, you can do one thing in that seat. That seat was sometimes for me a time of worry. You'd be worrying about stuff in that seat. How's that that's going to work out? And there's the more days in the month and money to mark the demands. Sometimes that seat was a place of worry. Sometimes a place of indecision. Sometimes a place of doubt. But we can replace all that times of worry, or indecision and doubt with seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Whatever your seat is, mark a seat like Mary who ponder and getting her hearts and minds aligned with Jesus Christ. Let's just pray for a second. God, I thank you. I thank you for the shepherds teach us who you're a God that can just intercede and come into people's lives in a moment. And the heavens can open and we can hear the hallelujah songs. And God, as we come into this festive season, we do pray for that sincerely as we meet together as friends and family come into our fellowship. Just for a moment, we pray that the heavens would open, that the presence of Christ would invade their space, and you would turn them into missionaries for the gospel of Jesus, that they would hear that light switch moment come on, that darkness would turn to light, and they would see Jesus as somebody who's worth finding out about. But God, that picture of Mary, she hid her franticness 9 months earlier, and she had frantic moments then on in, but that moment, she was found with Jesus. I was wrapped snugly, pondering everything that had happened, thinking about these things often. I pray for us as a fellowship that we can for it is to be grateful. We can for it is to cradle that presence, to look into the eyes of Jesus and say, thank you. That when they get caught up just in services and doing stuff, but it'd be a quietness of spirit, a quietness of heart, a waff of the razzmatazz. And God, we'd find that spot easily. Everything else would pale into comparison. Other things that take our attention, and God, we recognize that some things just need our attention. But God, it wouldn't be an excuse to say no to you. As you're crying out for our attention, we'd hit times of great intimacy. And God, it would bring so much refreshing. It wouldn't be a duty. It wouldn't be a burden. We would look forward to that place. And God, it would bring refreshing to people's soul, mind, and spirit. And God, this 2018 December month would be a time of absolute blessing. And we'd look back in 2019 and be glad that we spent time with the Savior on that seat. And it would be a habit that would keep us well into 2019. For all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing our last song as we take up our offerings. God bless us.